Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Our God is strong in battle. Our God can never fail. Through Him all chains are broken. In Him the sick are healed. And in the name of Jesus, giants are defeated. Every single mountain has to move. You're faithful to your promise to finish what you started. There is none as powerful as you, Jesus. We see the power of heaven setting the captives free. We are the church of
God, you are faithful to the finish. You finish what you start. You keep every promise. Father, not for our glory, but for yours. You are faithful even when we are faithless. You bring hope when we are helpless. Father, my prayer is that this morning, Lord, I just simply want to ask, would you do again what you did in our early service? Lord, not to create some stir of emotion. In fact, Father, I want to be clear. Please don't stir us, change us. Make us more like you. Thank you that you are still at work, that not the half of the story has been told in our lives. You are still sanctifying us and making us into the men and women that you've called us to be.
So speak to us today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are in week 8 of our series called To Do, A Thessalonian Guide to Practical Living. And we've been walking through 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. And we come to the end of chapter 5 today. But we're going to end where we started. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3 said, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." To be sanctified means to walk in the power of God, to be made more like Him, by Him, and through Him, to continue to grow in the knowledge of Him. And so we started with the idea that we are to be sanctified. And we've spent the last 7 weeks building this powerful to-do list that would allow the Holy Spirit to carry us from positional sanctification, the day you got saved, the day you gave your life to Jesus, the day you responded to the gospel call, the day that God saved you gloriously, you were made positionally sanctified. You are a saint. You are not a saint because you deserve it. You are not a saint because of your actions. You are a saint because of Jesus. He positionally has placed you in the heavenlies, the scripture says. So it's positional sanctification at the point of salvation. But the practical sanctification of living for God through the power of God, that's what we're working through. That's what 1 Thessalonians helps us with. Now the final letters of the final few words, of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 point to permanent sanctification. It's a day that's coming soon when Jesus returns and the God of eternity is there. It's permanent sanctification. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Completely. And if it's going to be complete and finished, that is at the day of the Lord's return. It says, "And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's talking about the day when Jesus would come again, and at that moment we will be sanctified completely. And then it says, I love this verse, "He who called you is faithful, he will surely do it." We just sang a song that talks about the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. He will surely do it. Verse 25, "Brothers," Paul says, "pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." So Paul tells us it is God who will ultimately and totally sanctify us wholly and completely at a day that is to come in the not so distant future. Joseph Carroll said it this way. He said, "Perfect holiness is the aim of saints on earth, and it is the reward of saints in heaven." Let me say it again. Perfect holiness is the aim for those of us on this earth, but it's the reward for those of us in heaven. Complete perfection is not within your power, but it is 100% within the realm of God's work in us. Look at verse 24 again. "He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." He's faithful. He will surely do it. Listen, friends, someday soon, the faithful God will surely bring this about in your life. How does that happen? He may return soon. Amen? Did you know Jesus may return soon? He may. Now, I can't tell you it's going to be today. I can't tell you it's going to be tomorrow, but I can tell you he's coming again. He is coming again. And the truth is, it may be yet a while, and I know a lot of us would say, but all the signs seem to point to now, and I agree with that, but the reality is, the very people that Paul wrote this letter to, the Thessalonians, they were arguing over whether Jesus was about to come back right then. They believed it with all their heart. So either way, whether he comes now or he waits another 100 years, here's what I would say to you. If life has taught us anything, it is that the end of life is coming for all of us. Now, I don't mean to be morbid, but listen, the last time I checked, the death rate of all humanity is 100%, right? Come on now. You're not going to escape this earth unless Jesus returns. No offense, you're going to die at some point. All of us in this room, it's 100%. Listen, I want you to think, it's been really awe-inspiring in my mind to think about this week, that between the early service and this service, there's over 100 people that's sitting in these pews today who were not here a decade ago. new people sitting here who had never been to First Baptist Church a decade ago. But please hear this. There are well over 100 people not sitting here with us today who 10 and a half years ago, when I preached my first sermon as your pastor, they were sitting here, and now they are with Jesus. Well over 100 who were in the room that day, who are now with the Lord. Listen, it stands to reason in my mind that if there are 100 that in 10 years are now with Jesus, that if the Lord tarries another 10 years, when I get to be your pastor at 20 years, if you'll put up with me that long, here's the reality. There'll be 100 more of us not here and 100 new ones here. The reality is every last one of us have an opportunity to meet Jesus, and we're all headed to eternity someday. But here's what I've seen over the last decade here. Do you realize it's not just older people that God is calling home? There have been younger people who have gone to be with Jesus. I love how Jim Elliot writes it. And Jim Elliot was one of five missionaries who was killed in the 50s, martyred for the faith by the Alca Indians in Ecuador. And I want to tell you, you can purchase Jim Elliot's, you can buy a book that is basically, it's his memoirs, it's his journal, and the journal he kept for several years. I would encourage you to get it. It's incredible to read his journal as God sent him to the place where he would eventually become a martyr. But he said this in 1950, not long before he would go and end up giving his life for the kingdom's sake. He said this, "I must not think it strange if God takes in youth those whom I would have kept on earth until they were older. God is peopling eternity, and I must not restrict him to old men and women." Now that phrase, "God is peopling eternity," has stuck with me for several years now. That is God is peopling eternity. And here's what I want to say. If you are one of those that will someday be with him there, you have trusted him with your salvation. If you trust him with your sanctification, then surely we can trust him with our problems and our circumstances. We can trust him with today's decisions and tomorrow's provision. Verse 24, "He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." God will surely do all he said he would do. He will sanctify you, but I believe he will also do all he said he would do in other places of the scripture. God will do it. If you're waiting on God to do something that the Bible is clear that he is going to do, he will surely do it. If you're asking him to come clean or to make good on one of his promises in your life, listen, he will surely do it. If you're trying to live a principle that the scripture gives us, because there are promises and principles, and if you're living a principle of what the scripture tells us of how we're to live, he will surely do it. And then Paul says this in verse 25, "Brothers, pray for us." Brothers, pray for us. Paul knew what God wants you to know. If you're writing things down, here's the answer. Prayer for others and prayer from others is vital to the Christian life. Now, that's simple, but let me say it again. Prayer for others and prayer from others is vital to the Christian life. Over and over, Paul tells us to pray for other believers. He tells us to pray for him, and then he prays for other believers. Over and over, letter after letter in the Bible, he says, pray for other believers. He says, pray for him, and he prays for other people. Friends, one of the greatest items you can put on your to-do list today is this. It's simple. Pray for others. Pray for others. Listen, prayer is your greatest weapon of warfare. Let me say that again. Prayer is your greatest weapon of warfare. It's not your abilities. It's not your magnetic personality. It's not your spiritual giftedness. Your greatest weapon of warfare is prayer, period. It is your most direct path to intimacy with the creator of the universe. It's the way you can have an intimate walk with God. It connects through prayer, and it's the greatest privilege of communication we possess. I love to be able to communicate with different people and different ones of you in this room, and I consider you a friend, and it's a privilege to have communication with you. But the greatest privilege of communication you ever will have is to be able to speak to the one who created you, to the one who made all things glorious, and to the one who will do all things in his time. And so prayer matters. I have a tendency to pray. One of my sons will pray on the way to school. Growing up years, we'll pray with all the kids in car line and different things like that. Now, when you're in car line, you're praying for your kids, but you're praying for yourself too, right? Come on. Somebody say amen. In car line, you need some prayer. Some of you have the car line. Y'all get it, right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you have reached the age where you don't have to worry anymore. Blessings to you. But to those that are dealing with the car line, it's a deal, okay? It's a big deal. But we pray, and you pray, and that's great. But I'm not talking about just a quick prayer you whisper for your kid, a quick prayer for a meal. I'm talking about praying for others, standing in the gap. Let me show you the kind of prayer I'm talking about. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, we see a beautiful picture of the kind of prayer that I want us to focus on today. It says this in beginning in verse 1. You may have forgotten this story, and it's not that you don't know it, but if we haven't read it in a while, we forget the power behind some of the things we see in Scripture. Acts 12, 1 says, about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. What a sad verse. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. So Herod has James, the brother of John, killed, and he sees that Jewish people were happy about it. So he grabs Peter, but he can't do anything with Peter right now because it's Passover. So he sticks him in prison. Look at what it says. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him. Why did it take four squads of soldiers? It was not because they thought Peter was going to break out. It's because they thought others would come in to break in to get to him. So they put four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. There's never been a greater line of scripture. It says, Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer was made to God by the church. Earnest prayer. That's the kind of prayer that changes the world time and time again. It's earnest prayer made by the church. It's collective prayer when God's people come together to pray. Earnest prayer made to God by the church. Now, the rest of the story is powerful. Look at verse 6. It says, now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He was bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10, when they had passed through the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city, and it opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. I love this story. Now, before I continue on with the part about prayer, don't miss something. When it says this, the angel pushed him on his side and said, wake up. Look what he did. He says, dress yourself and put on your sandals and then put your cloak around you and follow me. Listen, friends, when God wants to do a miracle work in your life, listen, you need to get up and get dressed and put on your cloak. We need to be ready. We need to do what we need to do to allow God to be able to do what he wants to do. We have a part to play to set the stage. Now, listen, we'll never be God, and you'll never perform a miracle, but I can tell you that there have been times in my life where God was simply waiting for me to get up and put my shoes on. And if I don't know who needs to hear that today, but somebody, get up and put your shoes on. God's at work in your life. So I love what Thomas Watson wrote about this passage, though. We read about the angel and how the angel did all this amazing stuff, and the chains fell off, and they walked past the guards unnoticed. They ended up going to the gate. The gate opens by itself. The angel leads him outside, and then the angel's gone, and Peter is free. But this is what Thomas Watson said. He said, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel." Come on now. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. The warriors here, listen, it's not the angel. It says, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Earnest prayer was made to God by the church. And then Paul tells us in the end of Thessalonians, he simply says, brothers, pray for us. Paul knew the power of prayer. And then after that, Paul tells them, greet one another. Make sure everybody hears this letter. Don't skip anybody. And then he says goodbye. And that's the end of 1 Thessalonians. Now, friends, if there were anything that I would want you to catch today, it is this. Pray for others. Earnestly pray for others. If you want to know what your greatest spiritual weapon is, it's prayer. Listen, there's nothing we could do greater than to earnestly pray for one another. So let me ask a question today. Who today needs prayer? Who today would say, brothers, pray for me? Who would today would say, sisters, pray for me? Remember what I said earlier, if you trust him with your salvation, if you're trusting him with your sanctification, surely we can trust him with our problems and our circumstances. We can trust him with today's decisions and tomorrow's provision. We can trust him to do the things he said he would do. So we end this in a simple little message today, and that's inviting you to be a part of two things. Number one, if you need prayer, I'm going to invite you to ask for it today. Now, me personally, I need prayer. Listen, I try not to make a secret of that in my life. If I'm going through a spiritual struggle, I want my friends and faith family to know, not because I want attention on me, but because I don't want to ever give a false expectation of what the life of a pastor is like. I want you to know the reality that I have spiritual warfare the same as you, and that I can need prayer the same as you. So today I tell you, I need prayer. The last few weeks have just been some spiritual warfare in my life. Nobody's mad. There's no problem in the church. It's none of that. It's just simply that there is an enemy that seeks to mess with us. And I feel like the accuser of the brethren has been at work in my mind and heart. And so I've done the things I know to do. I've asked friends to pray. I've used gratitude as a weapon of warfare, the things that I'm thankful for. I've turned up my worship music and worshiped him. But I would say to you today that I trust what the scripture says. When Paul said, brothers, pray for us, I'm going to say today, brothers and sisters, pray for me. So I'm going to ask for that. But I'm not the only one who needs prayer. Maybe for you, you need prayer today. Maybe you have a family member that you've been praying for, and you need God to do a miracle work in their life. In a moment, you're going to have a chance to say, pray for them. Maybe for you, you're dealing with something yourself, and you need God to show up and to do something. And so you're going to have a chance to say, faith family, would you earnestly pray for me? Maybe you've got a coworker who needs Jesus. Pray for him. Maybe you've got another circumstance that needs it. Would you do so? But the second is there'll be those who will ask for prayer, but then today there will be those who, I pray, the rest of us will make it our daily ambition to pray for others. Now, I mean really pray for others. Pray for them by name. Pray for them by their circumstance. Pray for them by faith. Listen, your family needs you to pray for them. Your friends need you to pray for them. Your coworkers need you to pray for them. Our missionaries need you to pray for them. They need you to hold the line for them. The lost world needs you to pray for them. Pray for them, pray with them, pray out loud, and pray again. Let me say it again. Pray for them, pray with them, pray out loud, and pray again. And remember this, you are praying to the one who can do anything. Verse 24, again, don't miss it. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So it's a quick message on purpose because I expect a long invitation. And my invitation is this. I'm inviting you to do what the Scripture teaches over and over again. Ask for prayer. I'm going to be right down front, and I'm going to say to you today, brothers, pray for me. I need your prayers. There's circumstances, and there's things that the Lord knows that I want him to move and to do, and so I'm asking you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do that. And then there are others of us in here that maybe you've got a family member that needs prayer, so you want to come and stand on their behalf and say, brothers and sisters, pray for them. You don't have to say their name out loud. God knows. Just someone coming to pray that God would do what only he can do will matter. Maybe you're dealing with a health issue and you want to come and stand and say, pray for me, please. Maybe you've got a lost neighbor that you really want to see come to Christ and you want to come and pray for them. Maybe you have a decision to make that you just don't know what to do. And so you want to come and ask the Lord to do a work. Maybe for you, you've got a relationship that needs to be restored. So the first half of the invitation today is simply this. When we sing in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and stand facing this way. This is the deal. However many of us, if there's four of us, five of us, a dozen of us, this morning it was probably 25 or 30, that say, I need prayer, and I am bold enough to say in front of my faith family and humble enough to say, I need prayer. We're going to come, we're going to face this way. And then we're asking the rest of us who have the courage to know that you can live out what the Scripture says, that the faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much, that you can earnestly pray for others. We're going to ask you to come and to find somebody and to pray with them and for them. Pray with them, pray for them, pray out loud, and pray again. You say, well, I don't know. I never prayed out loud for anybody before. It's the same as praying in your mind. You just do it out loud. That seems oversimplified, but it's the truth. Have you ever talked to God in your mind? Just open your mouth. Don't overcomplicate it. You say, well, someone will think I won't know what I'll say. I might mess it up. Listen, if the person next to you thinks you messed it up, you're not talking to them anyway. You're talking to God. I encourage you just to come and pray. Earnestly pray for them, for God to move. And my hope in prayer is that anyone that asks for prayer, that somebody, one or two or more, is going to come, place a hand on their shoulder and pray for them. That we will see what Peter saw. Chains will fall. Doors will be open. The same God who listened to the same people, his church, and then dispatched an angel is the same God who will listen to the same people today, his church, and can still dispatch angels. He can still do that. I don't have any doubt God can do whatever he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do. So my prayer is that he would do it. So two things. Number one, we're going to all just stay where we are. And if you will boldly say, I need prayer, whether it's for me or a family member, none of that matters. You just say, I specifically need prayer. You're going to come and join me and stand facing this way. And then we'll wait. And once everyone's in place for that, then we'll ask others to come and pray for them. You say, well, what if I don't know the person I'm praying for? Listen, I'm quite certain everybody didn't know who Peter was that prayed for him. I'm quite certain that God uses you. Just come and pray for someone. Be obedient to what he says and what he does. Would you pray with me? Father God, in this moment, I don't know what you intend to do, but I know what you did this morning, and I ask you to do it again. Father, there are people in this room who need prayer. I am not the only one who's faced a battle. I'm not the only one. There are people in this room with much bigger issues and difficulties, health issues and concerns. They need your healing power and touch. God, I pray they would humbly come and ask, and that we would boldly respond and pray. God, that you'll do a work in us today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.